In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If Advent were to have a patron saint, it would be St. John the Baptist. And it is not just because we hear about him a lot in the scripture readings from this season of the year, but it is because his principal role fits very, very closely with what we are trying to do in the what the purpose of this season is. Who then was St. John the Baptist? Well, he was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, which means he was the cousin of our Lord. He was the product of a miraculous birth, not as miraculous as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but still pretty miraculous because, like the judge Samson and the prophet Samuel, he was born to a woman who had been considered to be barren and past the age of childbearing years. St. John was also the first one to acknowledge the Lord. For when the Blessed Virgin Mary, carrying the infant Christ within her womb, came to visit her cousin Elizabeth, St. John leapt in for joy in his mother's womb at the approach of his Savior. By blood he was a priest, because he was a descendant of Aaron. He was a prophet. In fact, he was the last of the prophets. And he fulfilled the prophet's role by calling the people to repentance and return to the fidelity with God and his covenant. He was also a martyr. He was killed because he told King Herod that it was not right for him to be living with his brother's wife. His brother's wife didn't like this, so she engineered his judicial murder. But the most important role which St. John the Baptist had, and the reason why he is the patron saint of Advent, or he should be, is because he was the forerunner. He was the one whose mission was to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. And during this time of Advent, that's what we're doing. We're preparing to celebrate the coming of Christ, both 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, and at some time in the future in glory, as the King of all, who will come to judge the living and the dead and the world by fire. He is the voice crying out in the wilderness that Saint Prophet Isaiah foretold. The voice crying out, "Make straight the way of the Lord." And in his ministry, he depended only upon God. He lived in the desert. He wore itchy clothing made of camel hair, and he had an interesting diet, bugs and wild honey. And he called the people to repentance. His message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now many people came out to him to be baptized as a sign of their desire to be forgiven from their sins. And some of these people did so with a great deal of sincerity. They tended to be the ones who recognized their own sinfulness. People like the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the other public sinners. They recognized their own sinfulness. They recognized the need for repentance. And they rejoiced in the opportunity that St. John gave to them, and the further opportunity that he foretold would follow him. But there were others, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were just going through the motions. "Hey, everyone's getting baptized. Let's get baptized too. Do we need to?" "No, we're good. We're not sinners like these guys. We're sons of Abraham. We've got to get out of hell free card. We're going to be saved because we're Jews." And how did St. John greet them? "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come." Not, by the way, how to win friends and influence people. But it's the truth. Because they were being hypocritical. They were coming to be baptized, which tokened their desire to be washed clean from their sins, but they thought they had no sins to be washed free from. And so St. John told them to go forth and do good works to show that they had repented of their sins. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. And yet these words are as much for us today as they were for the people back then. And while we do not have a prophet per se, we have a church which has a prophetic office. Jesus gave to his church the threefold office of king, prophet, and priest. The church offers the sacrifices to make us holy. She governs us as a king would, and she teaches us as a prophet would. She teaches us what is right and what is wrong, and she helps us to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes when she teaches us what's right or what's wrong, we just go, oh, well, that's easy. Very few people are tempted to murder, right? Unless you're driving. When you're driving, it's different. Because there's always that person, you know, when they're merging traffic and everyone has been nice and got over, there's always that, insert your favorite swear words, and who zooms up and expects you to let them in. No! If I was ever going to kill someone, that would be who I killed. But I don't. I'm not going to. But sometimes we're told things are wrong that we don't see a reason for them to be wrong. After all, what's wrong with telling a little white lie to spare someone's feelings? Well, guess what? It's wrong. Any lie is wrong, no matter why you do it. Oh, that person has a lot of money. It doesn't matter if I take a few of their things. Theft is theft. There are things that are a bit more difficult for us, sometimes swearing. You know, we all have our pet sins, things that are difficult for us to let go of. But then there are the people who say, those aren't sins at all. I can do whatever I want. And they pick and choose what they want to believe. And then there are those who say, well, if you're going to teach that, I'm going to go somewhere else where they'll tell me what I want to hear. When you do that, you're like the scribes and the Pharisees. You're just going through the motions. And some people think they can do that because, hey, I've been baptized, I'm a Catholic, I'm getting right into heaven. It's not a get-out-of-hell-free card. It is an opportunity to use God's grace to be saved. It is not a guarantee of salvation. St. John also talked about the end of days. He talked about the second coming, when the Lord will come in glory to judge the living and the dead in the world with fire. He talked about it in the way that the prophets often talked about the day of the Lord, which is as a harvest. Any farmers here? Last Mass, we had two of our parish farmers here, so they knew what we were talking about. And when you harvest grain, you throw away a lot of stuff, because what you're really, the only thing that you're after is the head, the stuff with the grain on it. And so you harvest it, you get rid of the straw and the stalks of the wheat. You may feed those to your cows or your pigs or your capybaras, but you take the grain. But the grain still isn't ready to eat because the shell is on the grain. So what they did back in the day was you threw the grain on a stone floor and you beat the snot out of it with a flail so that the grain would break and the shell or the chaff would come off. Then you have the chaff and the wheat still mixed up, so what do you do with it? You get a big fan, and you wave it over the threshing floor, and that moves the chaff because it's lighter than the wheat. The chaff isn't good for anything. You burn it in an unquenchable fire. The wheat, on the other hand, that's what you want. That is valuable. It is good. It is fruit. Well, what the prophets were telling us was that at the end of the age, the angels will gather up all of the people and we will be judged on whether we're chaff or wheat. We want to be wheat. And so, St. John was warning the people so that they could get right with God, so that they could receive Christ and be numbered among those who are saved. Holy Mother Church today tells us what is right and what is wrong, and how to follow the Lord Jesus so that we will be ready to receive him when he comes in glory, and we will be numbered among the elect. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.